how a global insurance company thinks about climate change. I'm David Brancaccio. Swiss Re, one of the largest insurance companies, is issuing dire warnings about climate change. Higher water, falling crop yields, wildfires are also likely to cut global wealth significantly within 30 years, but this report suggests the worst is not inevitable. Here's Marketplace's Jasmine Garst.
According to the report, in 30 years, climate change could eliminate as much as 14% of the global economic output. Some countries will be affected more than others, says Professor Jason Shogren at the University of Wyoming.
If you're in Africa or in Latin America and your primary engine for your economy is, say, agriculture or forestries or fisheries, you're going to be impacted a lot more by climate.
Even though the U.S. is less vulnerable, it's increasingly plagued by wildfires, droughts, and storms. In fact, Swiss Re says these phenomena are part of why they've adjusted their insurance pricing model. Rising insurance rates are already presenting a major problem for Americans in flood-prone areas. In California, homeowners in areas exposed to wildfires have struggled to even get insurance. Professor Andrew Hoffman at the University of Michigan says Swiss Re's changes will influence other insurers. And he says it shows that climate change isn't about politics, it's about reality.
You know, an insurance company doesn't have a political dog in this fight. They're just looking at the numbers.
The report also found that these scenarios can be managed with global coordination and says this is a, quote, unique opportunity to green economies. Earlier this week at the Leaders Summit on Climate, President Joe Biden committed to cutting emissions by half by the end of this decade, which would require slashing fossil fuel use drastically across the U.S. Professor Amir Jina from the University of Chicago says that's a good start.
The U.S. being back at the table and being ambitious and back at the table is really important rhetorically. The commitments that you make, they need to be backed up by some policy that will actually get us there.
And he's looking forward to hearing what the next steps are. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Next week, we expect to hear more from President Biden on higher taxes for wealthy people when some possibilities hit the headlines yesterday that included a higher capital gains tax for millionaires and above, and the stock market dipped down 0.9% for the three main indicators. This morning, the S&P is up 0.2%, NASDAQ up 0.6%, but the Dow is down 32 points, 0.1%. So mixed so far this morning. Bloomberg News calculates this higher tax on the profits of assets that increased in value would affect the top 0.3% of the wealthiest, something that group probably saw coming. Christopher Lowe is the chief economist at FHN Financial in New York.
Some very high-income investor clients rotated their stock holdings back in November. That's when you sell a stock and then buy something similar so that you can take the gain. They took those gains last year because not only did they expect a capital gains tax increase, they thought it would be retroactive to January 1st. So, no, nobody should be surprised by this.
And when you think capital gains taxes, you might think of something like you bought Google and it went way up in the last year. So you have this profit on paper and you might want to realize it and you have to pay tax. But it's not just that. It's a Bitcoin, but it's also if you sell a big fat house.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it is perhaps an odd coincidence, but today in the Wall Street Journal, big increases in house prices have apparently triggered a lot of house listings out in the Hamptons. And I do wonder if that record number of listings is going to drop now that the news of a cap gains tax hike has come through. You know, New York City and New York State tax capital gains too. And for those living in New York City, the new rate would be effectively about 59%.
We check in with Chris Lowe at FHN many a Friday. Senate Republicans are out with their own infrastructure proposals. It's smaller, about $500 billion compared to the $2 trillion White House version, amid differences on the nature of infrastructure. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here.
Yeah, David, Republican senators even had a poster up during their press conference unveiling their proposal, and it was, in fact, titled, What is Infrastructure? That's where we are right now in the discussions. And what Republicans are proposing is spending $570 billion on what one might call infrastructure as we've known it. Things such as roads and bridges, public transit, airports, and broadband internet. Now, Republicans say they're making a good faith effort to kick off negotiations with the White House.
The president's idea of infrastructure has been broader. He includes electric vehicle charging stations and funding more caregivers. So where do the two sides go from here?
Well, indications are there's going to be a lot of back and forth over the next week, because President Biden would spend $400 billion just on expanding access to caregivers, right? There are also differences on how the two sides would pay for all of this. We know Biden would raise taxes on corporations and the wealthy. Republicans haven't specified how they'd pay for it, but they're suggesting things such as user fees on electric vehicles, for example. Now, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the administration sees this Republican proposal as a starting point. It is so far just 2 pages long. They want to see more details. And after the president addresses a joint session of Congress next week, the White House plans to invite Republicans over to talk.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo. We have some work cut out for us to cover this next week. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.